Isn't it a beautiful day outside? Sun shining, a little chilly, but it's a beautiful, beautiful day. We're going to worship this morning. If you'd stand with us, let's sing praise to God.
Oh, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day, King of heaven, come.
Let's give God a hand of praise this morning. Before you're seated, take a moment to greet someone, shake their hand, give them a hug, tell them you're glad to see them.
I can't do anything right. No wonder my boss won't promote me and my wife doesn't respect me. God's not finished with me yet. I can be the man He created me to be at work and at home. I can't believe He's acting like that. What a jerk. He must be having a really hard day. Maybe God put me here to make a difference in His life. I just can't stop doing this. I'm so frustrated with myself. I will always be this way. I can do this through Christ's strength. He will help me overcome. Succeeding at the big things has a lot to do with the little things. Thoughts, words, actions.
Good morning. Welcome to Cornerstone. We are in a series called Small Things, Big Difference. And what we hope you realize is that in life, sometimes the small things, the small changes in our life will have dramatic effects on our life. And hopefully this morning we're talking about our words, the things we say. So I can just tell you now, this is a message. It's pretty much be nice to each other, share your toys, go home. Okay? I mean, this is a message we all know, but yet it's something we all struggle with, isn't it? The things we say and being careful about that. Last week we talked about our thoughts, and our thoughts lead to our words. And so this week we're focusing on our words. So glad you're here this morning. When you came in, you got an announcement sheet. If you look at those real quick, we've got a bunch of announcements this morning. I'm not going to read them all. You just kind of look through here. We've got youth worship and bonfire tonight over at the church property. 6 to 8. If you need directions, let me know for that. We've got our uprising, our night of worship coming up on May 24th. Our summer life groups will be starting. We've got signups for that. We'll be announcing those next week. So if you want to lead a group, let us know. We'll be checking with everybody this week to find out all the details of the different groups. We've got June 8th. We've got an outdoor celebration service. Our 10-year anniversary for Cornerstone. Hard to believe, but we're getting together to celebrate 10 years. We'll be at Felts Park outside. Bring your camping chairs. Sit down outside. We'll have a great service. We also have a baptism that morning, so you can let us know if that's something you're interested in. Baby bottle campaign. They're over on the resource table. And what we ask you to do is to take a baby bottle home with you. Set it on your countertop. When you have loose change or have a little extra money, to slip it in the baby bottle, bring it back on Father's Day, and all the money collected goes towards the Tri-Area Pregnancy Resource Center. A great, great ministry. It's doing some awesome work here in Galax, and it's just a way, it's not just Cornerstone doing this, it's churches all over the area are doing this at the same time between Mother's Day and Father's Day, so a great way to support their work. And then we also have Praising by the River in Freeze. Praise team's going to play. We've got a hot dog cookout. And all this is coming up on June 1st, and you can see Nicole or Rachel to find out information about this, and there's some info in here as well. One last thing, Church League softball. If you're interested in playing softball, the sign-up sheet's over at the resource table. Randy's got all the information on it, and the first game is tomorrow night, 7 p.m. So it's always, if you want to play softball, you can come out. Play if you want to just watch and make fun of everybody trying to play. That's a great thing to do too. What great way to have fun, seeing all the old guys out there trying to relive their glory days. So, lots of things going on. Excited about this morning. If you would, let's go to the Lord in prayer before we continue on. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can be here in this place to worship you, to acknowledge our praise for you as our Lord and our Savior. Lord, as we talk about these changes that happen in our life, help us to realize that we don't change by trying harder. We change by your Spirit working inside of us and transforming us from the inside out, Lord. I pray that you just speak to us, you challenge us this morning, and challenge us to be more like Jesus in what we think and what we say and in what we do. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I said in the first service, I thought it was kind of a coincidence at first that Mike's message is on our words, and this song is Your Praise Will Ever Be On My Lips. And I realized it wasn't really a coincidence at all. It was a God thing that this stuff doesn't just happen. We didn't plan this to happen, but it kind of goes along with everything that's going on, and that God's praise should be ever on our lips, that we should always be saying things that are pleasing to God and uplifting others. And so if you would stand with us as we continue worship and sing this song with us.
To me, and it's why I sing that you're Bye. shame is ended in your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the
we need you. We need you in the highest of heights and the lowest of lows. We need you in every hour, Lord. No matter where we are today, Lord, we need you. We need you. We thank you for this time of worship and your presence in this place. We pray that you be with those hearts that are troubled this morning. Lord, we need you so much in this hour. We thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Julie, Eunice, and I are so glad you could join our prayer group. Lord knows we need prayer now more than ever.
Amen, sister. Barbara and I just love to lift the needs of others up in prayer.
Well, I appreciate your invitation.
Well, enough of this chitter-chatter. We got to get this show on the road. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but the Hendersons are in real need of prayer. Tom Henderson lost his job.
Did you see Tom Jr.'s haircut the other day?
He looked like a porcupine on Red Bull. I hear Tom Sr. spends all day on the computer, looking at the internet, watching videos on the YouTube.
That's probably why he got fired.
Oh, no, no, no. His boss caught him on the surveillance camera playing Texas Hold'em.
Hold'em accountable, I say. I mean, it's one thing for housewives like us to have hobbies, but he's a man of the church. He has a family. He should know better. Now, I would like to lift up Verna Carlson. She has not been feeling very well.
What's wrong with her?
Well, I heard it was her weight, 5 pounds in 1 week.
More like 15. Someone needs to tell her that eating ice cream will not save her demonic children.
Oh, don't we know it? That little Jeffrey almost ruined the service the other day, singing at the top of his lungs for all the world to hear.
So wrong.
I have a prayer request. The Whitmans are going back to Peru for a month to build houses.
Oh, they work so hard over there in that poor country. That's a good prayer request.
They're such a nice couple. And her apple pie was the hit of the bake sale.
Oh, yeah, but what about that V-neck sweater? I mean, if it had been any lower, well, I just didn't think that it was becoming.
I noticed that, too. I didn't want to say anything.
And let's not forget the dress that she wore last Easter.
I have another prayer request, for us, because, we're just sitting here gossiping, and I was thinking that, you know, we shouldn't be tearing down our brothers and sisters, we should be edifying them and lifting them up, so we should probably pray for ourselves.
Well, I guess you're right.
We should know better.
Yes, we should.
No, I do it too. I mean, last week at the picnic, I told everybody that Betty's son was going to jail, and I found out he's going to Yale.
Well, wow. I don't know what happened to us.
You know who's really bad at gossip?
Who?
So I can step on toes without even preaching this morning, right? We get started just with the good stuff here on the words we say. They really do make a difference. Today we're in part three of this series, Small Things, Big Difference. We talked about how you change the first week. We talked about the thoughts we think last week. And this morning we're talking about the words we say. Do they build others up or do they tear others down? And that's where we'll be going this morning. Today, and this, I'll just tell you, this is a hard, hard topic to preach on, because it's one that we're all familiar with. It's all that we all really know. You know this, and I'm not up here telling you something that this is not, you're not going to sit there and say, wow, I've never heard that before. Because this is something that we all know how we should live and how we should talk and speak to others. But yet we struggle with it and we find it really hard to do on a consistent basis. And I found a prayer that I thought was helpful for me, and maybe this will be helpful for you as well. And this prayer was simply this. It was, Dear God, so far today, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper, been nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm going to need all the help I can get. Do y'all feel that way sometimes? I mean, this is why this is so tough, because real life involves real problems and real people, and sometimes real people just get on your nerves. And so we have to really struggle to watch the words we say, because our words get us in trouble sometimes. I just tell you, I have, in working on this message, I had so many stories to choose from on how my words have gotten me in trouble. And I mean, my wife, she was just laughing at this. I mean, because I stick my foot in my mouth all the time. Just this week, my wife was, she was going to pick out a new color for our front door. And she brought me this paint chip and said, "Oh, I want to paint the, and she's like, "What do you think about this color?" And when that happens, you know, when I'm sitting there thinking, you know, my mind is going, this looks like it's radioactive. It's glowing in the dark. And so of course I told her what I thought. "Honey, it looks awesome. I love it. Get it." You know, cause that's right. I mean, I just know better. And actually I put a picture up here. And it turned out fine. I mean, I was looking at the paint chip thinking that is going to be just awful. But yet it turned out, I mean, it's good. And I trust her on colors because I'm pretty colorblind. But there's time after time, you're put in situations. What do you think about this? You know, does this make me look fat? You know, those questions that you get, that there is not a right answer. And our words get us in so much trouble. When you think about words, statistics say that we speak about 1/5 of our entire lives. The average person has over 30 conversations a day. That would fill up in a year 66 books that are 800 pages long each. That's crazy. There are a lot of opportunities for us to make mistakes, to say things that we later regret. I saw another research study that had a great piece of information for us this morning. And it was this. A recent study has found that women who carry a little extra weight live longer than the men who mention it. That was worth the price of admission this morning just to hear that one thing. Okay, your words will get you in trouble. And you will say things and you will say, "Where did that come from?" And they get you in trouble sometimes. And I started off this morning with the video about gossip, and that is pretty funny. But we live in a culture that is just inundated with gossip and celebrity gossip and rumors and trying to find out some juicy bit of information about somebody. I just finished reading a book. It was interesting, called "What Happens in Vegas Stays on YouTube." And it was a book about social media. And it was really interesting. Our privacy is really dead these days, because everything that gets said, gets spoken, gets texted, gets emailed, it's still there. You don't have an erase button for it. And so we live in a world where everybody's looking for gossip and everybody's putting stuff online and stuff stays there. We live in a world that just set up to put us in a big mess of trouble. Because what happens is we say things, we text things, we email things, and sometimes we do things online that we wouldn't say in person, and then we find ourselves in a mess. It can be a real challenge sometimes to even realize that you're gossiping. And I say that because sometimes you just get in, you're just talking with somebody, and just like that video, "Well, did you hear about them? Did you hear?" And you don't even realize what you're doing. But I'll tell you this, when you're being gossiped about, you know it, don't you? When somebody is talking about you and you hear something get back to you, there's no question in your mind what or what is not gossip. I like what Rick Warren said. He has a great definition of gossip. And this is what he says. It says, when we are talking about a situation with somebody who is neither part of the problem or part of the solution, then we're probably gossiping. And just think about how many times we're talking with somebody, well, did you know about this? And if they're not part of the problem, they're not part of the solution, then guess what? That's gossip. If we talk about others and just continually, and it's not sharing prayer requests. It's gossip. I like, you know, Dave Ramsey, he talks about gossip a lot too, and he defines gossip as discussing anything negative with someone who can't help solve the problem. And for his organization, it's such a big deal. For his company, if you are found gossiping, the first time you receive a warning, the second time you're fired. That's how big of a deal it is. And he says in any organization, what gossip does, it tears down the entire organization. When people don't trust each other, when people are talking about situations and problems with people who don't have the authority to do anything about it, it is gossip. So let me just say, I mean, just from the very top here, we get ourselves in trouble so many times with the words we say because we're gossiping. And we don't like to call it that. We don't like to admit that. But so many of us, we have trouble with the words we say. I like what King Solomon said in Proverbs 18. He said, the tongue has incredible power. What kind of power does it have? The tongue has the power of life and of death. The tongue has incredible... The words we say will either change lives, they will either build lives up or they'll tear lives down. Our words carry weight. The things we say make a difference in the lives of others. And so the words we speak, they can either be life-giving or they can be life-taking. And what I want you to do this morning is to help you think about your words. Last week I gave you a thought test and I had you kind of grade yourself on your thought life and whether you're negative or positive and some of that stuff. This morning I want to give you a word test, and it's a simple test. It's not even in your notes. It's just a simple thing here, and it's just this. Are you speaking more life-giving words or life-taking words? Are you speaking more life-giving words or life-taking words? Just think about the words you say. Are you building others up or are you tearing others down? And this whole series is about how these small things that we do, it's so often the small things that make a big difference. And the words we say, it may seem like a minor thing, it may seem like a small thing, but it makes a big difference in your life. Proverbs 15, 4 says this. It says, gentle words are a tree of life, a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. And just think about this, life-giving words, when you're building somebody up, hey, you did a great job on that. I can't believe, I mean, that was awesome. Or, you know, and we, life-giving words are things like that, but life-taking words are like, I can't believe you did that again. You always mess up. And so that's where we're going this morning. How can we get better? James, the book of James, if you got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of James, chapter 3. That's where we're going to be this morning, and looking at Scripture, because it has so much wisdom for us. If you're not familiar with the book of James, let me give you the quick background. James is the half-brother of Jesus. And James here, most scholars think he was not a believer until after Jesus was crucified and resurrected. And so one of the strong arguments for the deity of Christ is that his own family recognized him as the Son of God. And you can imagine that. I mean, when your own brother looks at you and says, yeah, he really is the Son of God, that's pretty convincing proof that Jesus really is who he said he was. And so James here, and James is a guy that cuts straight to the heart of the matter. He doesn't beat around the bush. He's very direct. And he talks about the power of the words we say. And so I want to pick up James chapter 3, verse 3, as the passage we're looking at this morning. And James 3, verse 3 says this, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. And what I want you to realize this morning, just right off the bat here, is your words determine the direction of your life. Your words determine the direction of your life. James says that our own lives, our tongue is significant because it steers our life. Our words, it actually changes the direction of the life that we live. If you want to know where you're going in the next 5 to 10 years, look at the words you're saying. Just think about that for a minute. Look at your conversations. Look at the words that are coming out of your mouth. Look, are you giving life to others or are you taking life? Look, and those conversations, those words will determine the direction of your life. We shape our words. Listen to this, but our words shape us. Our words shape who we are. And I shared that quote last week that was so powerful, that our thoughts give rise to our words, and our words give rise to our actions, and our actions give rise to our habits, and our habits give rise to our destiny. And you see that progression happen in life, that it's not just what we think, it's what we say, it's what we do. All this ties together. And so James here gives us a couple examples. Think about this huge muscular animal. You put a tiny piece in his mouth, and then it doesn't matter. Whoever's riding that horse can control the direction of that horse with just a little tiny bit in the horse's mouth. Why? It's something small makes a big difference. He goes on to talk about the ship, a big ship. It's got a tiny, tiny rudder, and the rudder is under the water. Nobody even sees the rudder, but yet that rudder is controlling the direction of the ship. It's the same way with our tongue. Our tongue is such a small muscle in our body, but yet it makes a huge difference. There's the power of life and the power of death in our words, and our words will set the direction for our life. So we keep going here in James. He talks about how our tongue, our words, they pierce others. They make a difference. They can do harm. They can do good. He says it this way in verse 5. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body. It sets the whole course. In other words, sets the direction of one's life on fire, and it itself is set on fire by hell. James, he is not pulling punches here. This is straight up no holds bar truth about the words we say. And when you hear something like that, I don't know if you're like me. It just rings true. We know that it's truthful what he's saying here. That our words, it's just like a spark. Once we let it out, it's so hard to stop. Have y'all been watching the news about the wildfires in San Diego? It's amazing. That fire, it's over 40 square miles, and they're trying to get it contained. And a fire that massive is hard for us to understand here in the mountains. But you see out west all these huge wildfires that they have. And yet, most of the time, they're started with just a single spark, a campfire that gets out of control, or a cigarette that's flicked out the window, and the thing grows and grows and grows and grows, and the wind catches it and pushes it. And as much, they can have thousands of firefighters fighting the fire, but they still can't get it contained. Our words are the same way. When we let them out, they just take off. They take a life of their own. And it doesn't matter how many people we get trying to do damage control sometimes. Our words hurt others. He keeps going in James here in verse 7. He uses another analogy here. He says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. So he says, think about this. All the animals at the zoo, We can figure out how to tame all of them. Some of them are pretty dangerous, but you get them in the right circumstance, you can tame them. But your tongue, watch out. It's not like your tongue. This is dangerous here. He says it's a restless evil. This is a term he used back in chapter 1, verse 8, when he talked about a double-minded man who is unstable in all of his ways. In other words, it's about to break. This is somebody that's on the edge, and your tongue, you're on the edge of trying to discern whether I should say this, should I not say it, is this right, is this wrong? And if we don't watch it, it gets out of control. It's a poison. It's a deadly poison. The Greek word there is literally like a snake venom. I mean, that's the picture that James is painting here. This is dangerous stuff. And so when we think about our words set the direction for our life. And I hope you realize that they set the direction of our life. But not only that, what our words do, they reveal our heart. When our words come out, they reveal what's really going on down deep in our life. And so if you're frustrated, guess what? You get put in a stressful situation, words are going to come out that show that you're frustrated. If you're tired, angry, bitter, mad, hurt, you're struggling with forgiveness, whatever it is, your words are going to reflect the condition of your heart. James says it this way in verse 9. He says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. That's some convicting stuff right here. We come in, we can sing songs of praise, we can praise God, we can thank God, we can worship, we can read Scripture, and then we leave this place, somebody cuts us off on the way home, what are we doing? We get mad. You start yelling, what are you thinking? You can't drive. Or you go to the restaurant and the waitress forgets to wait on you. Hey, I'm here. And we start, and cursing, get this. It's not just saying cuss words, okay? I mean, I think we read that sometimes, say, I don't cuss. I don't have a problem with cussing, and this doesn't apply to me. It's cursing another person. In other words, it's not speaking words of life to somebody else. It's a lot deeper than that. It's saying, man, I can't believe that person. Man, do they know what they're doing? Who taught them to drive? You know, I mean, that's cursing someone else who is made in the image of God. It's what James tells us here. When we look at other people, do we realize that they were created in God's image? It's easy to demonize other people when we don't like them, or when they've done something to us that we feel has slighted us, or they have hurt us. It's easy to demonize them. But can you really look at somebody else and realize that even with their faults, even with their problems, they were created in God's image? To see that image of God in them and realize that they may be broken, but they need healing. They need God's touch upon their life, but there is something good in their life because they were created in the image of God. See, so many times we just look at people and we just don't like them. They get on our nerves, or they've done something, or they said something, We, instead of speaking words of life, what do? We speak words of condemnation. We tear down instead of we build up. And so we wrestle with this. And I'll just be honest here. If we can talk about what we do when we leave this place and we drive down the road and we eat out or wherever we go. But the place that I struggle with this the most, you know where it is? It's at home. Right? The people that you love the most will get on your nerves the most. A few silent amens there, a few elbows. Because the people that you love, they know kind of what happened. We put on a good front when we're out in public. And we act on, we get home, and it's like, you know, you just kind of let everything out, and you're like, And the next thing you know, you just, the filter stops working, the filter between your brain and your mouth, and you just say whatever comes out, and you don't care what damage it does as it comes out, so you're just letting it fly. You see, and we do this with our spouses, and we know, they know I love them, so I can just tell them what I think, and you just let it go. And instead of speaking words of life, what do? You speak words of condemnation. You do this with your children. I can't believe I told you to do this one thing and you didn't do it. How hard is that? I mean, you know, I mean, we fuss and we get mad and we get angry. You see, our words reveal our heart. Our words reveal what's really going on down deep in our life. And so we have to guard what we say. And because I tell you, life is tough, and you may be at work and you may be experiencing stuff every day and at work where people are saying stuff and your boss is cutting you down, and then you go home and it's hard to disengage that and say, okay, I'm going to rise above that and my words are going to reflect. I'm going to praise God no matter what I'm going through. You see, that's what we're getting at here. We don't change what we say by just trying harder. Oh man, I got to really watch this. No. Your words reflect what God is doing in your heart. And so if as you're spending time with Christ and as you're learning and as you're growing and as you're finding your joy in Christ, then it starts becoming easier to speak words of life to others. Because that's what Christ is doing in your life, and it starts becoming more natural to speak words of life instead of just cutting everybody else down. I gave the ladies a hard time with that video at the beginning with gossip, okay? And my wife saw that, and she said, how come it's a bunch of ladies gossiping? Guys gossip, too. I'm like, yeah, but... sorry, just kidding. Guys gossip, too. But here's what guys do that ladies don't do quite as much. You get a bunch of guys in a room together. Are they going to speak words of life into each other? It's like a contest to see who can cut each other down the fastest and the best. Yeah, and the guys are all laughing because you know this. If you get around a bunch of guys, it's like, and especially if there's no girls around, it gets ruthless. You better have some thick skin because they're going to start cutting you down. And guys, I mean, we're great at this. And you're like, you know, it's thinking of a great comeback and tearing and seeing. And it's all, everybody laughs about it. But here's what I want you to know. It's not the macho thing. And I know that's what our culture does. But is that really what God has called us to do and who He's called us to be as men? To see who can cut each other down the most. What would it be like if you took that time with other men and you invested in that man and you discipled him and you spoke words of life and said, oh, man, I see something in you that, man, you would not, I think you'd do awesome at this. One, they would say, who are you talking to? But if you start living your life like that and investing in someone else instead of tearing them down all the time, you would not believe the impact the church would have. You would see a revival among the men of the church when they realized people actually believed in them instead of cutting them down all the time. So it's not just gossip and the ladies. Men, we need to rise up and be encouragers and speak words of life. Right? And you see this and we know this. And so here's our goal this morning for all of us. It's to speak words of life. It's to speak words of life. This is so important. Ephesians 4:29 says it this way. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, guys and ladies both, start going through your conversations. Is this what your conversations do? Do they build others up according to what they need? Does it benefit the other person that is listening? Do you speak words of life? You know, it's, man, this one verse, if you would apply this verse to your marriage, if you would apply this verse to your job, if you would apply this verse to your parenting, it would make an incredible difference in your life. If you just start watching what you say, you start letting your words be a reflection of what Christ is doing in your life, and you start benefiting others, building others up, And don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Why do we not do this? I mean, why do we say the things we say? You ever think about that? Have you ever had one of those moments where you just said something and you're like, man, you just said it. And you're like, where did that come from? Why did I say that? That was, I can't believe I just said it. Have you ever had that? I think we all experience that, don't we? We all experience those times. And here's what I want you to think about. I want you to look a little deeper beneath the words you say. And maybe if why do you say the things you say? I think one of the big reasons is pride. I think if we feel like if we cut someone else down, then it kind of pushes us up. And so we're constantly belittling others or criticizing others or critiquing others because we think it makes us appear morally superior. And so what happens kind of beneath the surface here is that many times in life, we try to lift ourselves up and do it by crushing others. And so we have to look deep. Sometimes I think we speak because we are struggling with an issue. And man, when we are struggling with gossip, it's easy to point out somebody else that's gossiping. And we can be gossiping all the time, but man, I know somebody who does gossip. I know somebody who, or maybe you've done this, or you hear a message about something like this at church and say, I tell you who needs to be here. It's not me, but that person needs to hear this. Man, I wish my spouse was in here to hear this, or I wish my mom or dad or my son or daughter or my coworker, man, I'm going to go get a recording of this tape, recording of this service and take to them. And so it's easy to point out things that we're struggling with in our own lives. It's easy to see them in somebody else's life. And so sometimes we have to just acknowledge, this is for me. This is what I'm dealing with, and I'm going to focus on fixing me before I try to fix everybody else. And so if you're a cynical person, it's easy to see somebody else that's cynical. But maybe what God is wanting to do is to work on your cynicism. Maybe he wants to touch your heart and to touch your life. I love what David says in Psalm 141 because it's all about going back to God's strength. He says, take control of what I say, O Lord. I need God's help. Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. Don't let me drift towards evil or take part in acts of wickedness. Don't let me share in the delicacies of those who do wrong. And so what we see here is imagine what God would do in our lives if we asked for his help. Imagine if what he would do if we simply start surrendering to him and letting him take control. There's a story that Ken Blanchard tells. He's a business executive and he does business training all over America, and he wrote this in one of his books. And he did a big training session for a bunch of grocery store workers. He had like 3,000 grocery store workers come, and he did this training about being encouraging. And one of the young men that was there was a guy named Johnny. He was 19 years old. He had Down syndrome, but he worked as a bag boy at the local grocery store. And so when he went home, he talked with his dad, and he tried to figure out, he's like, this was all good information that this guy taught us, but I don't know how to put it into practice. So him and his dad came up with a plan. Every night he would write out on a piece of paper an encouraging thought, a motivational thought, something positive. Something that spoke words of life into somebody else. And he would write this out on a paper, and he would make 300 copies of this, little slips of paper, and he would sign each one with his name. And then when he went to work, he took those with him. And as he bagged groceries, as he got to their last bag for each person, he would say, I have something very special for you. And I want you to read this when you get home. And he would stick it down in the bag and tell them to have a great day. Well, the grocery store started having a problem. And their problem was simply this, is that the manager couldn't figure out why they had every lane open in the grocery store. And this is a true story, and yet his lane, the lane where he was bagging groceries, was backed up all the way into the frozen food section. And they would start announcing over the intercom, we have multiple lanes open. We can go over here. And people said, no, we want to be in Johnny's line. And because we need to hear his encouraging thought for the day. They had people say, I used to shop somewhere else, but I heard about what Johnny was doing, and I just need, and they'd say, I want to shop here every day now. I need to buy something just so I can get the encouraging thought from Johnny. And what happened in that grocery store was their entire culture was changed. And now instead of when they had problems, when the flowers were getting ready to be thrown out, they would walk out into the store and they would find somebody to give that flower to or to pin it on somebody. And all the employees started, it was contagious, this idea of speaking words of life. And if we see such a hunger in a grocery store for words of life, let me just ask you, what could the church do? We live in this society where people are hungry. They're hurting. And we, as the body of Christ, are called to be Christ to the world around us, to speak words of life, not words of death. We're called to go out to be encouragers. Look through the New Testament. What do we see? Encourage one another. Love one another. Serve one another. Exhort one another. Build up one another. Over and over and over again, we see that in context of relationships, we are to speak in love. And so my challenge for you guys here this morning, will you speak words of life? Will you be careful with what you say? Do you remember who you are in Christ? And then do you allow Christ to use you to reach out to a world that needs hope? Our words matter. If we make small changes in the words we speak, it's going to make a big difference. It's going to make a big difference, not just maybe in your family, maybe in your workplace, in this church, when people truly take this to heart and start living like this. Guys, would you pray with me? Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this simple, small truth that would make a huge difference in our life. Lord, we know that if we truly think about what we say, that it would change our marriages, it would change our relationships, it would change our friendships, that it would move our life forward to become more of who you want us to be. Lord, I pray for each person in this room that you would help them to evaluate the words they say, that you would help give them the strength to be able to speak words of life to others. Lord, I'm also thankful that with our words, that we can make commitments, that we can make confession. Jesus said by our words that we will either be acquitted or condemned. And so our words reveal our heart. Out of our heart, the overflow of our heart, our words come out of that. And so for each one of us, as we pray, as we evaluate our own life, if our words are not pleasing to God, maybe that's an indication of a heart problem that we have. And so, Lord, right now, we just want to ask that you change our hearts. If you're here and you've put your faith and your trust in Christ, then this morning is just an opportunity for you to confess, to repent, to turn back to God, to continue to learn to walk in His ways and to learn to live in His Spirit. But if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, then the answer is not to try harder. The answer is to give your life to Christ, to surrender, to put your faith, your trust in Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God who was born without sin, who did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He became sin for us on the cross so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be freed. The Bible says that whoever confesses with our mouth, again, there is power in our words. Whoever confesses with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that means He's your master, your ruler, the king of your life, then you will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from an empty life here on this earth. But more importantly, saved from an eternity separated from God in hell. So Lord, right now we come to you. And we just cry out, we need you, God. We need you now more than ever. We need you in our life. We need your power. We need your love. We need your Spirit living inside of us. So this morning, our prayer for every person here is that they would give their life to you, that they would acknowledge their need for a Savior, they would confess their sin, that they would put their belief and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone to save them. And Lord, when we do that, you change us. You transform us. And Lord, for that, we're forever thankful. It's in the name of Jesus I pray this morning. Amen. As we close out this morning, guys, I want to, again, kind of extend to you an invitation. There's communication cards on the seat back in front of you. If there's a prayer request, if there's a need, a commitment that you would like to make, whatever it is, you can fill those out. You can drop them in an offering box when you leave. Or we're going to be over here to the side as always. If you want to pray, if you want to talk, if you want to share, if you've got questions about what it means to follow Jesus, then this morning, right now, is your opportunity to do that. Would you guys stand and let's close out with a time of worship?
Like a ring of solid gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. Your love is enduring through the winter rain, beyond the rising, with mercy for today. Faithful you have been, faithful you will be. You pledge yourself to me, and it's why I sing that your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. The Father, your faith, your kindness made us whole. Your shoulder our weakness, as grace restores the soul. Faithful you have been, your pledge.
this day. We pray that as we go through this week, that your praise would always be on our lips, Lord, that everything we say would be pleasing to you, that it would build up your kingdom instead of tearing it down. Lord, we thank you for this day again. We thank you for this time of worship. We ask that you would be with us through this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't forget about this coming up Saturday, 6:30 at the Rex. We'll be uprising, the night of worship. Everybody come.